I guess you can be seated unless you want to stand the entire sermon. All right. That's my new job, asking people to take a seat. Philippians chapter number 4, this morning. It is morning, I can tell, because some of you are sleepy. Hopefully you'll stay awake for at least the introduction, and we'll see how far we go. Philippians chapter 4, I do have a handout, but not for the message. There is little 3x5 cards on the back. If you would like one, you don't have to take one, but it might be helpful. This morning's message is entitled, and get that after the sermon, okay? It is entitled, Overcoming Anxiety. Overcoming Anxiety. And on the back, it's back table again, it's got a 3x5 card. One side, it's got Philippians 4, 6, and 7 to help you to just have on hand and read through, work on memorizing. If you don't have it memorized, just read those lines. On the other side, it gives you 5 steps to help you overcome anxiety. This morning, in the message, I'm going to give you 7 steps because I get a little more time to, I hope, to do that. So, overcoming anxiety. Philippians chapter 4, we'll begin in verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always means even when you have troubles, turmoil, heartache, disappointment, always rejoice. You say, that's can't do that. You can. Anyway, and again, I say rejoice. So he reiterates it because of those who say, I can't do that. And sometimes we just downright don't want to be happy. Say, no, that's not true. Some people enjoy not being happy. I don't understand that, but that's kind of how it goes. Anyway, continue. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Why should we be rejoiced? Because God's really close to us. He's right there. Why would we get all worried and upset? Then he said in verse number 6, be careful for what? Nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You get close to Jesus and you can have some peace. If you don't have peace this morning, let me say this. You're probably not as close to Jesus as you think you are. So, I'm in Christian school. Great. I had my quote-unquote devotions this morning, and you still don't have peace? There's something wrong there. Continue. So the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time together. I pray that your word would meet the needs of your people this morning. It always does meet our needs if we have a heart that's open to it. And I ask, Lord, that this very important subject, something that we all deal with, would be helpful today, and that some might be battling this problem today, that if they learn to take these steps every time this thing crops up into their life, that it would, they take these steps, Lord, it would really change their outlook on life and really help. And I'm thankful that you put this passage in the scripture and ask that we glean from it today. We ask all this in Christ's name for your glory. Amen. The word careful in our text there, verse number 6, be careful for nothing. It means to be anxious about, which refers to worrying. The Greek word there is found 17 times in the New Testament. It's translated a couple of different ways into English. But that tells us, the fact that it's in there 17 times, tells us that anxiety was pretty common for the early Christians. Fear and anxiety usually go together. Right, we get fearful of something, then we become anxious about what's going to happen. It's
like, we start borrowing trouble. You ever heard that expression, right? We start thinking about things that could happen. And a lot of the fears that we have of things that could happen, do they always come to pass? In fact, no. In fact, normally, most of what we fear and get anxious about never even do come to pass. And even if they did, sitting there worrying and fearing about it doesn't change anything and doesn't help you get prepared for anything. So whether you're battling anxiety or fear or anything like that this morning or some issue, you might not even know it, but whether you are or not, you're going to deal with it sometime. It was common in Christ's day. In fact, he warned the people repeatedly in Matthew chapter 6. He said, take no thought, take no thought. Maybe you remember that passage. That word thought means is the same Greek word. It's the same word that means to be anxious about. It's the same word that's translated careful in our text. And so Jesus talked about it. And as we read, have just read, let me say that, Paul just addressed the subject to the believers in Philippi. So there's a church in Philippi where there are people who were becoming anxious. And he wrote and said, hey, you don't have to be that way. And then God, in his great wisdom, said, I am going to preserve this letter, and I'm going to put it in the New Testament because there are going to be a whole lot of believers through the ages who are going to struggle with the same thing. And I'm going to put the answer of what they need right there. And so God has given us something extremely special. I remember early in my Christian walk, these are one of the first two verses. They might not have been the first two, but some of the early verses that I remember memorizing for me. I just needed something to help me with all the turmoil of life that I was facing. I remember over and over just recalling those words and line by line and just trying to say, okay, well, you said this, Lord, and I'm going to do this. And getting my mind focused on the Lord really helped. And I think it'll really help you as you take time to consider this passage, not just this morning, but even in the future. The lessons, like I said, about anxiety have been recorded here because it's a common problem, just as it was then, so it is now. So, you know, there are a lot of causes for anxiety. Now, I'm going to give you the steps to overcome here in a few minutes, but there's different causes why people have anxiety. You know, one, not the most common, okay? But some people become anxious because of health problems, and not because they have health problems. The health problems actually create anxiety. All right, for instance, so a person with thyroid problems, their hormones are all out of whack. It can cause them to have anxious thoughts. Now, I understand that will bring about, it's a physical problem, but and you need to get that, if someone has a thyroid problem, get it taken care of, right? Because it's going to affect your spiritual life. Your physical life is going to affect your spiritual life. Regardless of the cause, you still need to take the same steps and get some help from the Lord, right? But also if there's another thing that you can do to help you. Of course, you know, all sorts of things from certain vitamin deficiencies, head trauma, all that are a few things that can cause ongoing anxiety. But you know what? That's not what causes most of our anxiety, okay? Most of us haven't had a serious head injury. Well, the way some people act, maybe you'd wonder, right? No. And I don't think, you know, that 99% of us have thyroid problems, right? So that's not the cause of most of our anxiety, is it? So I throw it out there because it is a legitimate thing for some people. Probably not us. There are different personalities out there, aren't there? There are some people who are more prone to be fearful than others, more inward and focused on self. Timothy seems to have had a more timid disposition than some others. However, he was expected to deal with that problem. And so are we. Paul told him, for God hath not given us the spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. We're going to have peace. We're going to be able to think clearly. We're not going to be all stressed out and overwhelmed and uptight all the time. Now, naturally, some people might tend that way, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, part of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, what? Peace. Peace is the opposite of being anxious. And so, regardless of your personality, you say, well, that's in my constitution. So what? There's a spiritual solution to it. The Holy Spirit helps us overcome our flesh. Does he not? So, whether it's health problems, there's still a spiritual element. You better deal with it. Deal with it physically, deal with it spiritually. But then there's personality issues. I'm not saying personality disorders, right? But then there's another one that seems to be pretty prevalent among us, and it's circumstances, right? Everything's going fine, and then all of a sudden you get that phone call. Oh. Or your friend says, hey, did you hear? No, I didn't, and I don't want to hear. Thanks for ruining my life, right? Just a few things. How about finances? I got to have so much of my bill paid. Where is this money going to come from? Right? Oh, I bought a car so I could go to work. Now I got car payments and school bill, and I don't know how I'm going to pay my car. I'm working to pay my car now. I can't pay my school bill, and I got my car so I could pay my school bill. What am I going to do? And then my car breaks down. Or, as has happened to not just one college student, my car gets wrecked. And some end up paying on a car that they can't even drive. It's like, what am I going to do? Just get stressed out. That's the best thing you could... No. But hey, do we not get uptight and anxious about finances? How about... I was going to say that stupid. How about foolish? How about unwise purchases? You know, do you know today the new iPhone 12 is coming out? I would imagine that there's some here already planning to get it. Now, if you got all that money in the world, amen. But I know that most college students don't have all the money in the world, right? And it's like, but it's coming out. And mine's old. I mean, I only have like the 11 Pro. And it's like the 12's coming. I have to upgrade. I mean, you just do that, right? If you have the money, fine. But some don't. Ever make a wrong, foolish purchase? I remember one thing. I had to have a laptop. I mean, back in, that was like probably 94 or 95. I had to have a laptop. So I went out, I bought the laptop. I bought it on credit. It was $1,000. I don't know, probably had like 10 megabytes of hard drive or something, maybe 40. Or it was like so ridiculous. You know, and it was refurbished on top of all that. It wasn't even like top of the line, but they were a more expensive bank. I didn't have that money. I went into debt, and I was paying that stupid thing off, stupid computer. Man, I'll tell you, anyway. We've all made, and then it's like, why did I, how am I going to take care of these things? How am I going to make ends meet? How about family problems? You know, you say, why are you preaching on anxiety? I mean, it's like fall break starting up. I'm going home. I'm out of here, right? Yeah, but there might be some who are going home to some difficult problems. Things aren't quite right with maybe mom and dad, and they need to be. Or a sibling. Or there's some friends back there, some temptations back there that you're like, I don't know how this is going to work out. I've changed since I've come here. I don't want to go back into that way of living. Whatever it is, I don't know. Maybe you're having, like I said, a rift with someone who loves and cares for you. That's not good. You're anxious. You're uptight. It's not going to help your life until you deal with it, confront it and deal with it. Make amends. Get things right with your parents if you need to. Friends. You know, getting friends can be a cause of anxiety, but losing friends can be too. And especially losing friends through gossip. So-and-so said this about me. Well, how'd you know? Well, someone told me. And now the gossip is run through. And you don't know who likes you and who doesn't like you. Ever been there? And now you're like, do I go and try to fix this? I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. But do I try to go and fix this? Or do I just let people hate me? Or I don't know if they hate me. What do I do? Get uptight and anxious and no, that's not what we do. But that's what we tend to do. Oh yeah, our friends. How about our future? Our future mate. Some are coming in their junior, senior year. And it's like, I'm still available. Guys, there's, some of the ladies do the math. It's like, I think there's three of us young ladies for every guy. Am I going to be one of the three that might leave with a husband? Or am I going to be one of, and some of you are like, I didn't know that ratio. There is no hope for me. Now you're becoming anxious. It's not what God plans. How about our future calling? Am I called or am I not called? I don't know. I'm here, but I'm doing the one-year thing. I'll do the two-year thing. I don't know what I'm going to do. Give God a chance. Don't be uptight. Our calling, our job. What am I going to say? The seniors here, what am I going to do when I graduate? I don't know. Does anybody want me? Does anyone not want me? What if I go to a church and it's bad? I just don't know. Grades. Oh, am I going to pass? I don't even know if I'm going to graduate. That midterm's coming up. Man, I bombed all the quizzes so far, and the midterm's going to even be worse. I'm never going to get out of that class. I don't want to see that teacher again. As you can see, there's no shortage of things to worry about, is there? And we do worry. We do become anxious. There's another reason that we become anxious, and that's a lapse of faith. In most cases, fear and anxiety take root in our hearts when we simply fail to trust God to help us in our times of difficulty and disappointment. That's really the bottom line. And we got to remember that a lapse of faith is no small matter. Unbelief is often accompanied with other sins. It's often accompanied with a hard heart. And it doesn't please the Lord. Jesus was speaking to the disciples in Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. They didn't believe, and they had a hard heart. So don't just excuse, well, yeah, I just had a little lapse of faith. A little lapse of faith doesn't please the Lord. A little passage of scripture there in Hebrews that talks about an evil heart of unbelief. Ouch. Well, I don't want to be called that. But that evil heart of unbelief can cause us to depart from the living God. So when anxiety starts to creep into your life, you've got to deal with it. And if you don't, it's going to build and build and build, and it will topple you at one point if you're not careful. So my question this morning is, are you anxious or worried about something today? Some of those areas, the family, the finances, the future, your friends, whatever it is. Will you take the steps that God has given us to have victory? You say, what are those? Glad you asked. Let's look at them one by one. Number one, rejoice in
about all things. Rejoice about all things. Rejoice about all things, or in all things, however you want to word it. In verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord again, always, and again I say rejoice. Even in the darkest of circumstances, we still have something to rejoice in. It's actually a someone, the Lord. He didn't say I'm thankful. He didn't say I had to rejoice in my circumstances. I have to be thankful for my circumstances. I don't have to rejoice in them. Oh, I'm so glad I just wrecked my car. Yes! No, but I can say I'm so glad. Praise the Lord, you are still there. And you're the God who gave me that car. And you're the God who can give me another one. Whatever it is, he's still there. He's still up on the throne. Hasn't alarmed him one bit. You can, here's another example. You can say, Lord, man, I may have lost my friend, but I still have you. Thank you for being a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We can rejoice in the Lord. You see what happens? It directs our attention where? Up, instead of on these earthly things that don't please or satisfy. They often disappoint. We can choose to be happy that God's still alive. Choose to believe that he's aware of our trouble and trust that he's able to help us. We sing that song, he's able to deliver thee. Well, it's not just a song, he is. Strike up a tune in your heart and let it go. We usually tend to focus on our problems and become discouraged. And so when we focus on the Lord, we can rejoice. This is the first step in getting victory over anxiety. The second one's this. So rejoice in all things. And then the second one is worry about nothing. Find that in verse number 6. And oh, by the way, the reason we can rejoice in the Lord always is because the Lord's at hand, verse number 5 tells. He's right, he's close. We can rejoice because he's there. He hasn't left us. In verse number 6, though, we get to our next point. Worry about nothing. Be careful for nothing. Be careful. Again, today's language, we would say, hey, stop worrying. That is a command, actually, isn't it? That's not a suggestion. It's just simply stop it. To be anxious, then, is a choice. So, no, I have no choice in the matter. This stuff comes up and it just happens to me. No, you can choose to rejoice in the Lord and do these other things. Or you can choose to focus on that problem and worry and worry and worry and fret. No. To be anxious is a choice. Otherwise, God wouldn't tell us to be careful for nothing. He wouldn't say that if it wasn't possible to stop worrying. We can choose to fear what will become of our situation, or we can choose to have faith that God's going to work it out. So we need to stop worrying. You may say, well, I can't. Yes, you can. If you follow the steps that God gives to us. He gives us another one, a third step in verse number 6. So we are to rejoice in all things. We're supposed to worry about nothing. And number 3, we're supposed to pray about everything. In verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is the idea of, asking. Prayer is asking. Supplication is begging God. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Make some requests. So God urges us to let our requests be made known. So I've got this problem. So what do I do? Lord, here's my problem. And ask him what to do about it. Ask him if he can do something with it. Not if he can, because we know he can, but if he would do something with it. And how he will do it. In other words, pray about your situation. Ask God to work things out. I'm going to come back to Philippians, but I want you to go to Luke chapter number 10. I'll show you the importance of taking time in prayer and seeking the Lord and how it does help us with anxiety. And when you fail to take the appropriate time with the Lord, how you're going to become more anxious. We have this illustration right here. In Luke chapter number 10, verse 38, we begin. It says, now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So she's in communion with Jesus. She's listening to him, interacting with him. But Martha, on the other hand, was cumbered about much serving. and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her there. Now she's telling Jesus what to do. Bid her therefore that she help me. That's what happens when you get out of sorts with God. You start thinking he's done wrong and everyone else has done wrong, and you're starting to boss him around. You've got to do this for me. It's all about me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha was cumbered in verse 40. That means she was distracted. Something had distracted her. Mary wasn't cumbered. She wasn't distracted. Why? Because she was spending time with who? Jesus. Now, Martha was actually distracted by a good thing, by serving God. Just going out there and doing the work of the ministry, you can still become anxious if you're not taking the time with the Lord that you need to be taking. Now, notice the results of being distracted, of not spending the time that you ought to with the Lord. The first one was that she was careful. That's the same word from our passage back in Philippians. She was full of anxiety. She was anxious about things. She was worrying. She was fretting. And she was troubled. So she was careful. So she's going to be irritated. And it came out in her disposition, didn't it? She was pretty grumpy. You ever get that way? Just ask your roommate. You know, a lot of times when we get anxious, we also get angry about things. So because she was distracted from spending quality time with the Lord, she became full of anxiety and trouble. And that's what happens to us. That stuff comes into your life and you start saying, oh, I'm not as close. Just remember, mark it down. You are not as close to the Lord as you need to be. You are Martha. And you need to get back to being Mary. You say, well, I'm a guy. All right, then you're Matthew and need to be a Mark. I don't know, whatever. What's the solution then? Well, I think it would be to get back in fellowship with the Lord. Spend some time in real time in prayer. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Stop worrying about the problem. Pray about it. Worrying can change nothing. Okay, I mentioned earlier in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was telling people, hey, take no thought. Well, one of those examples was in Matthew 6, 27. Which of you, by taking thought, so he's posing the question, which of you by taking thought, that word thought is the same word to be anxious about, can add one cubit unto a stature? All right, so those of you who are vertically challenged, you can be worried and uptight. I'm so short. I can't do this. I can't. You can worry about it all you want. It's not going to change anything. You're never going to get an inch taller. Not even a millimeter. Because it just doesn't change anything. And Jesus is trying to point that out. Worrying, you know, he said, you can't add one cubit to your life. You can't add anything to your life, is what Christ is saying, by worrying. So stop doing it. Instead, pray. So we rejoice in all things. We worry about nothing. We pray about everything. And then fourthly, we give thanks for all things. We're back in Philippians chapter number 4. You say, well, this is pretty simple. I should try this sometime. That would be a pretty good idea. Now, let me say, does this take all of your negative outward circumstances away? Absolutely not. But it'll change how you deal with them, and it'll change how you see them, and it'll change how you get through them. Or even if you do get through them, it'll make it possible that you can. God doesn't give us burdens and trials and pressures to overwhelm us and to squash us and to, you know, extinguish our existence. He's trying to help us. He's like, hey, you got trouble now? Can you finally turn around, look up? Okay, I hope. You know, I heard once, and I actually checked this with a pig farmer. People are a lot like pigs. You say, oh, no way. The only time a pig looks up is when he's flat on his back.
And the only time some people ever turn around, seem to end up looking up to the Lord is when they are just leveled by trouble. And they have to finally look up. There's no other way to look. So let's make sure we're looking to the Lord. So number four is give thanks for all things. We find this again in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So as I'm praying, I'm thanking God. Why are you thanking God? You got trouble. Well, I can thank God it's not worse than what it is. I can thank God that he's still alive and he's going to hear my prayer and take care of it and help me through it. We are assured that he will hear us and help us. Ephesians 5:20 goes along with this idea, giving thanks always for all things. You say, we're supposed to be thankful for all things. Yes. For all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our family had a serious car accident. Some of you might know about this. When we were in Zambia, Africa, serving as missionaries, my wife broke her neck. That's not a good thing to do. In many cases, you either are paralyzed or dead. And you can see she's not either. Praise the Lord. She broke her wrist in four places. I had a bad head injury. And I think I still have some repercussions from that. But I'm alive. I had crushed my chest. I felt like there was an elephant sitting on it. I mean, I couldn't sleep on my side for like 3 or 4 weeks. Oh, and by the way, Sabrina, Jake, your dad calls me a couple days after the accident, and I'm like, I'm like in pain. And he's cracking jokes, getting me to laugh. I'm like, I mean, I'm dying in pain. And he's cracking these jokes like, thanks a lot, friend, you know. We had a lot of unanswered questions. We were going soul winning when we had this accident. What on earth? Why, Lord? I'm in Africa trying to serve you. I'm going soul winning. A lot of unanswered questions. It wasn't long that so I'm asking, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? What's in this? You know, I didn't know what was going to happen, if we'd recover, how things would go. It wasn't long he reminded me of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm like, all right, I need to be thankful. So I got a pen and paper out. I said, I'm going to do what the Bible says. He said, I'm supposed to be thankful. I started writing a list of all the things that I was thankful for from the accident. I was thankful we didn't die. I was thankful that the kids who were in the back seat and the car didn't have seat belts. You know what happened to my wife and I. With seat belts, they walked away fine. One of them had a little raspberry on the hip. The other two, absolutely fine. Well, I don't know if they're perfect in any. I was thankful that someone stopped and helped us. I mean, I could go on and on about the small miracles that happened in that thing. And I started looking at all that and saying, God was with us. I don't know. God sent his angels and wrapped their hands around my children. That's unbelievable. Pastor Brennan Stuhl was home with a sick child. His wife was at he was going to go in later. His wife was doing the children's hour first, and he was going to go in and do the next hour with the church, but he was home with Joshua, who happened to be sick. They had services at one church on Saturday and another church on Sunday. It's how they had to work things. So on Saturday, he just happens to be home. I call. I have no idea. I didn't even think, because, you know, I just have this huge brain injury, you know, that he would be at church. But he wasn't. He comes, drives 45 minutes to pick us up and take us to
hours further up north to the hospital. He was our ambulance. God did so many things. My wife has this neck injury. She's got a broken, I didn't know it was broken, but I knew it was a problem. We had gotten all sorts of medical supplies from a place called International Aid. And I remember going through and I was like putting different things. I saw a neck brace when I was at International Aid. It was a couple bucks. I said, hey, who knows? Never know if you'll need one of these. I threw it in my cart and I got it. And it's sitting in my cupboard back home. I pulled that thing out, put it on her neck, thinking maybe she had a little whiplash. And I get up there and they had an x-ray. Oh, she broke her neck. I'm like, I happen to have in Africa a neck brace, a collar? What on earth? There are a lot of things to be thankful for that day. And I'm still thankful because God's real. He's real. We need to learn to give thanks in everything. I don't know what your heartache, your trouble is today, but pray with thanksgiving. You may not know what God's doing with your trial, but you can rest assured He knows what He's doing. Number five is expect something. So I pray, but nothing happens. Well, why don't you pray and expect something? You say, what can I expect? We can find it here in verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what you can expect, the peace of God. You might not have all your problems taken away, as I mentioned that, but you can expect the peace of God. That's exactly what we need when we have times of fear and anxiety, because peace is the opposite. Peace is inner quietness. It's the opposite of that roaring within that happens when we have an anxious heart. So we look for His peace. He promised it, and we can expect it. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Paul talks about the God of peace in the book of Romans. And peace is beyond comprehension. It can't be understood. People who have no reason to have peace often seem to have the most. We'll visit some people who are really struggling in the hospital. You're going to be an encouragement to them, and you walk away, they've been an encouragement to you because God was with them in a miraculous way. Why do people who have no reason to have peace have so much peace? Because he decided to stop worrying and trust God. Imagine a storm on the high seas. The winds are boisterous. The waves are powerful. Maybe a wave 30 feet is not uncommon out there. Can you imagine a wave of 30 feet high and just looking up in your little boat? I am gone. 30 feet is pretty high. Three stories. Now, think about what it's like at that same spot that you are in the little boat looking up ready to die. Think about what it's like at the bottom of the ocean. The winds and the waves seem to have no effect on those little fish swimming around so peacefully. Though the storms of life may threaten us, in the depths of our soul, we can have peace. I think that's the idea of peace that passes all understanding. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Then number 6 is fear nothing. Fear nothing? Fear nothing. Why? Well, we find that there. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. The word keep is a military term. It means to guard, to protect. God's peace will protect two things, your heart and your mind. Boy, if my mind is protected, I'm going to not go down the wrong road, am I? Sometimes we start thinking about stuff and we're dwelling on things and we're heading down the wrong path with our thoughts. My heart and my mind is protected from that when I have His peace. I'm not going that way. So with Jesus standing guard, what do we have to fear? Absolutely nothing. We don't have to be afraid. Oh, I had another Zambia story, but there's no time. I can just tell you this. There were many times I had every right to be anxious, and many times I was. Every time I'd walk out of my door, I'd always be scanning the yard looking for poisonous snakes. Why? Because my son stepped on one day. He jumped over a spitting cobra who was raising up another day. And, you know, just different little things like that. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Threats from the police, threats from government officials. You name it, there was plenty of reasons to have anxiety. But there's one big reason not to fear, and that's to trust the Lord and to say, all right, Lord, I can't do anything about this. There are times where God's going to allow you to be in situations that you have absolutely no control over what's going on. You can't fix it. You might be in that right now. So what do? You just trust God. Say, Lord, I can't do this. God wants us to come to the end of ourselves and look to Him. And when He gives us that peace, we can go through some pretty severe trials and get through them. Are you there this morning? You can get through it. And the last one, number 7, is think about the right things. Find that in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Stop thinking about your problems. And start thinking about good, clean, wholesome, godly thoughts. God tells us what we need to think about, and it'll help alleviate our anxiety. Anxiety often includes fretting. Fretting means to rub, to wear away substance by friction. It means to gnaw, okay, to gnaw on something. You say, what's that? I lived in upstate New York, New Hampshire, sorry, as a boy. Behind the house was a heavily wooded area, and it was a great place for hiking, hunting, snowmobiling, all that. A few miles out down the path, a couple paths actually, was the old Kilkenny Railroad bed, which took you up to what we called the Beaver Dam Pond. I don't know what the real pond was, but there were beaver there, and the beaver dam was made of unique pieces of wood. If you've ever seen wood that the beavers use, you know, the ends of the logs are kind of tapered because they chew on them and get them down to size. And so they'll go out there, and they'll be chewing on a tree and gnawing on that thing until finally it falls over. And then they'll gnaw on some, you know, they'll get a section of a log as long as they need. They trim it to size, right? And so now they've got something for their beaver dam. That's how they build it, all right? They just gnaw on those things until the trees fell. Like beavers gnaw on a tree, let me tell you, anxiety will gnaw on your peace and your joy until it falls to pieces. Gnawing can be a long process. It takes time. And your anxiety will just keep gnawing at you and gnawing at you. But it's also a destructive process. And the longer you allow anxiety to dominate your life, the more likely you are to suffer a great fall. Deal with it. Every time it creeps into your life, take these steps, go through them one at a time. Take these verses and apply these situations, these promises to your life, and you will see God deliver you. His word works, but you got to work it. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Simple steps.